Well, this morning I've been thinking a little bit about the need, how our relationship, how we fit into this nation, this society, how Christians should interact, what their obligations and responsibilities for are, and sometimes I get the sense that Christians are supposed to be excluded. Our votes don't count. We should not, even Christians sometimes say, we shouldn't get involved. And while we tend to stay away from the political area, especially in church, we stay out of that because we're focusing on another kingdom, the kingdom of God. And it isn't a physical kingdom. It's within you, the scripture says. And that's been our primary focus. But this morning I'd like to talk a little about how we, what rights we have, and how we can, as Christians, interact in our society and address some of the problems and concerns and the situation in the world. I think we have a right to speak too. And I think a lot of the problems of the world are because people aren't listening to God. And then we need to speak what He has to say. And I know that that's viewed as being pushing religion on people. And I know that that is that when Christians say anything, they're viewed as being wanting to try to establish a theocracy. That's accusation. But I think those things are kind of intimidating, attempts to intimidate and silence Christians from having something to say in our society. So this morning I'm going to share with you a statement from Paul. He said, I appeal to Caesar. I have something to say to Caesar. And so I'm going to talk about Christians as citizens today. Paul before Festus said in Acts 25:10-11, said, if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal to Caesar. The situation, of course, was that Paul had been dragged into court, accused falsely, and attacked. And of course, therefore, he was defending himself, his rights. But I think that there's another factor that kind of goes a little beyond that, too. And that is, he had a right to appeal. He had a right to be heard. He could say something about his rights as a citizen of Rome. And so he appealed to the higher court. I want you to bring into your thinking the fact that God provided government. He doesn't always sanction every form of government or everything that governments do, but He did provide government. He made allowances, spoke to the need, and gave some good standards of quality behavior that would be well accepted by governments. It would make us all a lot better off. In Romans 13:1-7, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. That seems kind of strange, since the powers that be at the time that Paul spoke was the Roman Empire, a pagan government. I know that sometimes I've heard Christians say we shouldn't have to pay taxes, and in fact, for a while there was quite a movement among a lot of churches, or people who went to churches at least, who maintained that income tax was a violation of their rights, and it wasn't constitutional, and all of these kind of things, and someone went to jail because of it. But their idea was that somehow the government we shouldn't pay taxes to a government that did a lot of things that we didn't agree with. But that wasn't the way Paul looked at it. He said there's no power but of God. It's really expressing the fact that governments come to power and maintain their power because of the forbearance, or perhaps even the actual work of God in the world to bring to power certain governments. In fact, as you look at some of the prophecies in the scriptures, it talks about certain governments rising and falling and so on. Those different prophecies, which at least God knew they were going to happen, and God declares in several cases that God has something to do in creating them. And let's look at some scriptures involving that. The powers that be are ordained of God. It doesn't ordain anything that they ever do or anything, but men need to be governed. They don't do too well sometimes, just their man for himself, and the devil take the hindermost. Whosoever therefore resists the power, so he's talking about Christians, resisting the power, resists the ordinance of God. Because God has determined that governments should be there. And he's going to give a reason for why he has allowed and ordained powers to be in control. And they who resist shall receive to himself damnation or condemnation, depending on the translation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. That's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? In some countries, at least, they sure seem to be a terror to good works. But I think he's stating the basic principle of the purpose of government. And I think that wherever in the world governments exist, by and large, they exist to try to stop people from just doing things on their own against each other, taking the law into their own hands. And governments are a terror to those who do evil to a great extent. That's basically why governments come into power. They may come in as dictatorial, things like that, but that's ultimately going to be the direction it's going to move. Will you then not be afraid of the power? So he says, from a standpoint of doing evil, you need to be a little intimidated. Do that which is good, and you shall have praise from the same. So, and here it gives us a basic way of approaching government, even bad governments. Do that which is good. If we do that which is good, we're going to tend to be heard, understood. And it doesn't mean that no government official may be wrong, but it does mean that we need to do good, and most likely we will not be harmed. Do what is good. That's the way to deal with governments. Do good. For he is the minister of God to you for good. That's God's intention. His purpose is to carry out the will of God. That doesn't mean they always do, but it means that that is his purpose. He is a minister of God to you for good. So do good. But if you do that which is evil, eventually you harm your fellow citizens, destroy their property, impugn and abuse your neighbor. It's very simple. Most of the principles actually are covered in the scriptural teaching, love your neighbor as yourself, and do unto everyone else like you'd like to be done to you. Those are good principles that work for government. They work for families. They work for on the job. They work for government. There's solid, basic principle, and those are the kind of things that we can make a difference in our government. They're not joining a mob and smashing windows and burning places up and things like that. Is not really going to endear you, and it's not going to solve the problems. So that's why Christians generally stay out of those kind of things. And sometimes people take advantage of us because we don't. But that's why we don't. We find that it's better to do good. And those people are killing each other and all that kind of stuff. They knock themselves down. And ultimately, Christians are still there. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. God has authorized the governments to bear the sword. He has the right. He doesn't have the right to misuse it, but that God has authorized it. For he is a minister of God, a servant of God. Minister is the word for servant. He's a servant of God. That's what God's intention was. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. He has the right before God to revenge and execute wrath upon him that does evil. God ordained our role in these government situations. We have some rights, some roles from the very foundation of governments. Daniel spoke to rulers. Daniel 4:25 says, he says to the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as the ox. They shall wet thee with the dew of the heavens, and seven times, or 7 years, shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. God ultimately is the one who is going to allow or to bring about the powers that be in the world. And those that please God, God will raise. Those who resist and abuse the things of God and harm its citizens and other nations and so on, God ultimately is going to bring them down. The scripture talks about in the book of Revelation that the those who take up the sword will perish by will have the sword used against them. And God is the one who rules, really. He is the one who ultimately has the power. And things are going to move in God's way. And that's why I believe some of the prophecies, even that are being fulfilled, I believe have been fulfilled in relation to, for instance, the prophecy about the Jews. They were to be scattered into all nations according to the scriptures. And Jerusalem must be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Luke, the 21st chapter, Jesus said that. And so in our lifetime, after 2,000 years, we see the Jews coming back, taking over the land, Palestine, or part of it, and taking over the city of Jerusalem. That was prophesied. And I believe that's and when it happened, when the Jews took it in 1967, it was an amazing thing. I've got Life magazine, they got a 6-day war, and they took it back after 2,000 years. They've been scattered in all nations. All those prophecies about the Jews have come true. Amazing. Maybe not all of them, because there's still some to be fulfilled according to the scriptures. They're supposed to eventually be converted to Christianity, accept Jesus as the Messiah, and it appears that they may also be intended to have a larger portion of that land which originally was given to them. But what I'm saying is that God does work in the kingdoms of men, and he brings about things the way he wants it, ultimately. Moses appealed to Pharaoh. He stood before Pharaoh in all his might. He was the mightiest country in the world at that time. And he spoke to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Esther, Queen Esther, appealed to the king on her people's behalf. And ultimately, she triumphed. Ezra and Nehemiah appealed to the kings on behalf of their people, and they rebuilt the temple, and they rebuilt the city of Jerusalem. And so there's a tradition historically that God's people did have the right to appeal and to have be heard by the political systems of the age. John the Baptist appealed to the ruler, to Herod. Matthew 14, 3-4 says that Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." He spoke. He spoke up on a very sensitive area. And the result is he lost his head over a woman. John told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who ruled the Jews, to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. He spoke to the nation and to the problems they had. Jesus appealed to rulers. In John 3, he addressed Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, told him what was right about the kingdom and the way people ought to behave. In Luke 11, 46, and he said, "Woe unto you also, lawyers, ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touched not the burdens with your fingers." He was speaking to those who were in the politics and the political leaders of the day. And Luke 11, 52-54, he says, "Woe unto you lawyers, ye have taken away the key of knowledge and entered in not in yourselves, and them that were entering ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently to provoke him to speak many things." You know, when you speak up about what's right and wrong, it infuriates the politicians and the leaders. Christians are not supposed to say anything. Keep your mouth shut. Just do what we tell you to do. And so they tried to provoke him. They hassled him. They put his name on the headlines, you know. And this guy has no right to say these things about us. Christians, we're to speak before kings, according to the scriptures. Matthew 10, 18-20, Jesus said, "And ye shall be brought before governors and kings in my name's sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles." And so historically, Christians did appear before kings. And he says, "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak." Christians have a right to speak. They have a right to address the problems of the world. They got a better solution And a lot of people who are trying to figure it out and keep making all kinds of blunders and create all kinds of difficulties. Christians are supposed, according to them, though, Christians are supposed to just be silent little lambs and give and keep your mouth shut. It doesn't matter, we're going to tell your kids what they should, that there is no God. And we're going to tell your kids that they can have abortions and parents don't need to know. And we're going to tell your kids that they have the freedom to have sex with anybody they please. We're going to tell your kids they can have any kind of sex, regardless of what it is. And we have the right to tell you that, but you don't have the right to say anything back. Acts 24:25 says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith in Christ. Paul spoke through a king, and he reasoned of what? Righteousness. What is right? People don't want to hear about what's right. They want to hear what they want to, how they want it. But he says, he reasoned of righteousness. He spoke of what was right and what was wrong. Temperance. People don't want temperance. They want any kind of excesses they please, and you shouldn't say anything about it. You have no right to judge. And judgment to come. There's a day coming. God is going to call everybody to account. And people don't want to hear about that. Don't tell us about these things. Don't push your religion on me. But believe me, God is going to push his religion on everybody. He is going to, in the end, they're all going to stand. Every single person is going to stand before the God of heaven, and he's going to be the supreme court in the decisions that are going to come about. We need to be ready. And we need to speak to others. It isn't loving to say nothing and let them have to face that. Although I have to say, I think that most of them know already what God thinks about it. They just don't want to hear it. Felix trembled. You know, we need to make some of these governors and presidents and congressmen and so on, we need to make them tremble. They need to hear the facts, because the day is going to come when they're going to stand there and answer. And he answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call thee." The problem is that people are always looking for a convenient season when it won't hurt so bad. Christians served in government. We have some rights. We are citizens. Romans 16:23. Erastus was a city treasurer. That was a political appointment in those days. Titus 3:13 says that Zenas was a lawyer. He participated in the legal transactions. They wrote the laws, or helped to write them. They argued the laws. Now, to understand, I don't believe that our primary mission as a Christian is to change the world as a political force. We're not. I don't care about getting out and prancing in the streets and yelling and screaming and carrying signs and all that kind of stuff like we see going on by a lot of people on the other side of the aisle. But we have, our primary role is to focus on Christ. And when we make changes in the lives of people, they'll behave differently. And they'll vote differently. That's right. They're going to speak up on things that are right and wrong. But I'm not going to organize, get this church to go down and stomp and yell and scream someplace to, about how terrible things are. We have other ways of working. But we have the right to vote, and we have the right to speak. Don't let people intimidate you. People will swear in your ears, they'll tell all kinds of filthy jokes, and they'll attack Christianity and everything else all around you, but you're not to say anything. I don't accept that. I speak. We have the right as citizens to speak to the problems of the world. God has the true solutions, and we need to provide those solutions. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Our role isn't to go out there and fight and force our beliefs and our ways on other people. That's not our job. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," that is fleshly, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." We don't take physical swords and go out and chop people, and we don't shoot them. But we do speak to problems on the truth of God. And that is mighty. It has the power to change the hearts. These other things, they can scare people and force them to conform, but the Christian's job is to bring people under the rule of Jesus Christ in their hearts. And that is hated, despised by people who can't control Christians because Christians are following God instead of their political arguments and systems. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That starts down here in the heart. That doesn't start by forcing people. And so Christianity, ultimately, that's why Christianity is the largest religion in the whole world. The second closest to it is Islam, about half the size. "And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." God is going to, we give place to the wrath of God. God will take care of us. We have something. If somebody kills us, they're doing us a favor. Because we're going to go and be with the Lord. I told somebody that. Had a Muslim come in here and start threatening me. And I told him, I said, "Go ahead and kill me." I said, "You just do me a favor. So I'm going to go to heaven." And Ephesians 6, 11 and 12 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We need the armor of God. Not bullets and physical tanks and physical armor, vests and things. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places." Our struggle is with the real source. It's not with the people of this world. Our struggle is really, and we need to see that instead of seeing people, individuals, as our enemies. We need to realize that this is a struggle between God and the forces of evil. And if we keep that before our minds, and we're focusing on that, we have a much stronger situation. We're going to win. We're going to win, believe me, and we're not going to have to kill somebody to do it. Responsibility to government. We do have some responsibilities in government. 1 Peter 2:13-17 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be a king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. That's something we need to do. Be submissive to government. Obey the laws. Don't go out and bust somebody else's property up. Don't retaliate with violence. We need to be submissive to the laws. For so is the will of God, that they with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Do good. Remember that? What we said and started off with here? Do good. That has more power than anything else. It's hard to argue with a person who is doing good. Even if you get abused, in the end, you win. As free, and not using our liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God, we are free. You can put us in chains, but we are free. Free before God. And we shouldn't take the fact that we have freedom. A lot of people have this false idea of freedom. Freedom is the right to go out and trash somebody else. Freedom is the right to do things that are destructive to ourselves and to other people. You know, if people weren't exercising their freedom so much, we wouldn't have AIDS. We wouldn't have all these sexual diseases. We wouldn't have a lot of the headaches and the problems. I wouldn't have to carry a bunch of keys around all the time. Too many people are exercising their freedom. This is the real. If the scripture says, Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. You want to be free indeed? You want to have a real freedom? You can be free of sitting in a prison cell. And the people who are out there banging each other around, they're not free. They're not free at all. They're prisoners of their own desires and their own corruption. They have headaches and problems, all kinds of problems, and they're talking about their freedom. They're not free. They're prisoners. Prisoners of the devil. And they are suffering for it. And they're going to keep suffering for it unless they learn what real freedom is through Jesus Christ. So don't say, I'm free and I have the right to go and do things that hurt other people and are against the welfare of others. But as servants of God, honor all men. You know, there's something that we can do politically. Show honor for all men. Honor. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. I hear so much trashing of political leaders all the time. Unfair. Unjust. Dishonest. Trashing of leaders of the country. There seems to be no conscience. Say anything you please. No matter how malicious, how unjust and untrue it is, just we have the right, so we trash anything. Where is the honor? Christians are to honor those who are in power. That doesn't mean they're right and everything, but let's give some respect. Romans 13:6-7. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. And pay your taxes. Don't cheat the government. Jesus himself said, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. If it's Caesar's, give it to him. That's what Jesus said. And we need to pay our taxes. Honestly, as best we can. I know it's hard to figure out, I have to say. I shake my head and I wonder if I've got it right over and over. But at least try. Try to be honest. Even though they take it and misuse it a lot of times, I know that. But that's where we can speak too. We have a right to vote against unfair, unjust taxes, misuse of taxes. We have a right. That's our country's. We're part of the Constitution too. And we have a right to speak to our congressmen. Call them up. Write them a letter. Say, I don't like this. We have a right to appeal to Caesar. The idea that we're supposed to just pay and let them play. No. We have a right to speak to the problems of this world. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We should be good citizens. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made to all men, made for all men. Now there's something you can do. Hey, I don't agree with them. I don't like the policies. But one thing I can do is pray for them. God said to do it. Hey, this is part of the Bible. That's something you can do. Nobody can stop you from doing that. Pray. We need to pray for our leaders. There's several different types of prayer there. Supplications, ask. Prayers, intercessions in their behalf. God help them. And give thanks. Giving of thanks. Hey, can we give thanks for what we... we can always find the flaws. I mean, people do that all the time. They see all the flaws and they never give thanks. And if we gave more thanks, maybe the persons would be more likely to listen to us. And God, at least, is listening. For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives in godliness and honesty. Let's pray for peace. When did you last pray for peace? When did you pray for our leaders that they make wise judgments? The scripture says to pray for your enemies. When do we pray for them? If you don't like the leaders, pray for them. Let's be standing and let's sing our song of invitation or closing. This is my Father's world. Do you believe that? I believe it. God owns everything. And we are accountable as his servants. And we need to speak up for what's right. And we need to speak out against wrong. We have the right under God, from the scriptures, and from our constitutional rights too. We're citizens. This is my Father's world.